From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 digital exclusive.
For this week's Writer's Block podcast, I have not one but two authors that I'm talking to about their new books that are part of a series of books for kids that tackle tough topics. Now, one book is about racism, the other is about feminism. I shot these interviews with Jelani Memory and Emma McElroy for a TV story, and we did them inside of Wild Fang, a store owned by Emma. First, you'll hear from Jelani, who wrote a kid's book about racism.
A lot of familiarity with kids. You have six kids?
Yeah.
So were you an author before all this started, or like what was your startup here?
Oh, really good question. So born and raised in Portland, Oregon, so I'm a hometown kid. And for me, I sort of always had that entrepreneurial bug where I wanted to start things and make things. And, you know, in college, that was starting an improv comedy troupe of all things, starting my own business, coaching kids in basketball, and then later on it became photography, video, and then the last big company that I started was called Circle Media Inc., and we made what I'll call modern parental controls for families to manage their kids' online content and time.
Oh, which is definitely key right now,
yeah.
Right? I mean, we have two daughters, and like we're constantly trying to figure out which app to download to monitor all that. Yeah. And so then how did you get into this, the author realm with these books?
Yeah, it was my kids. I have a blended family, mm-hmm. So six kids, four white kids, two brown kids, and we talk about race, culture, skin color, racism all the time. Mm-hmm. And last summer I decided to write a book just for them to encapsulate all the conversations we were having, and little did I know that that would spawn multiple books. And so now we have 12 books out, all on various topics from depression, creativity, anxiety, gratitude, feminism, mm-hmm. And racism.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the racism and the topic of that, I mean, what were your kids asking certain questions? Were they coming home from school, like having heard certain things, or what were the conversations that you were having?
You know, I think kids are really incredible because they're not afraid to ask really sort of straightforward and blunt questions. And so, you know, their questions often look like, you know, what is racism? Mm-hmm. You know, what does it mean when somebody's mean to somebody else about their skin color or the way they look? And so we would talk about that in a really candid fashion. And, you know, for my kids with fair skin color who are white, having a stepdad show up to school who's black was a change for them and was a change for their friends, and so they wanted to make sense of that. And for my two little brown kids, you know, one school age, and she's already had a few experiences, so those conversations look a little different. Mm-hmm. But for us, we always wanted it to be an open dialogue in our house.
Mm-hmm. And as far as like in the book, I was looking at actually the feminism one over there. Is it similar in format where it talks about like what racism is, and does it give examples of it, or what's the...
Yeah, our thesis with the books is, one, kids are ready for adults to be honest with them. Mm-hmm. And so we give them the actual words about a thing. So in feminism, it's about equality. And in my book, we talk about racism, we talk about hate, we talk about discrimination. And we try and give kids a lexicon to have a shared language with the grown-ups in their life. And ultimately, kids are, it's easy for them. They're ready for it. It's the grown-ups who get uncomfortable with words like racism when they don't know what to say. And so mm-hmm. for our books, we give a launch pad for grown-ups to have a language to dive in with kids.
Yeah. Do you, I mean, it's an interesting time for sure to have this book come out, because it seems like we're seeing, even though it seems like we did make a lot of progress, like we're seeing a lot of backstepping, I guess, nationally with just the political landscape and, you know, everything else. I mean, do they feel that?
Yeah, I think so, but I think they have a hard time putting words to that.
Yeah.
You know, kids live in a world where, you know, the average kid gets their first cell phone at the age of 8, mm-hmm. Which means they have the world's information in their pocket. And they're trying to make sense of it, but with a 6, 7, 8-year-old brain, and they're looking to the grown-ups in their life to give them answers and to be straightforward with them. And I think now this generation of millennial parents care so much about raising empathetic, thoughtful, understanding mm-hmm. kids, and where we step in is we offer them conversations that are conversation starters, right? Into topics like mental health, depression, anxiety, et cetera, and with things like racism that are such a hotbed right now, but there's so much confusion around what does it mean to be racist? What is racism? Does racism exist? And so we try and just offer a starting place for that.
How did you go about finding the other authors that are involved in this series?
It's been a really unique process. I've chatted with friends and friends of friends, and what was amazing about what we had created initially was everybody can fill in the blank with a kid's book about something, right? Whether it was anxiety or depression or creativity or death or loneliness or school or fear. And so every time I sat down with somebody and showed them my book, they were like, oh, you have to talk to so-and-so. They would be perfect to write a kid's book about, and they would fill in the blank. And that's led us to acquire over 42 authors.
Yeah, wow, 42. Yeah. So there's like that many topics out there that you guys are tackling.
And we think there's so many more. I mean, imagine all those sticky, uncomfortable, difficult conversations that parents have to have with their kids or grown-ups, whether you're an auntie, uncle, grandparent, and kids are free with their questions, right? So for us, we wanted to provide a help to grown-ups in that way.
So, I mean, it is basically like the, here, maybe you should just give your kid this book and see what they think, you know, that type of thing.
And, we really think that experience should happen together.
Oh, together, okay.
Yeah, so that kids can live ask questions throughout the book, but also that there's a conversation that happens after that. So this isn't, hey kid, go learn about racism.
Right.
This is, we're gonna do something together before bedtime. We're gonna have a conversation afterwards, and parents don't have to force their kid to have a conversation. Kids already are primed with questions like, whoa, okay, that's interesting. This thing happened at school. Is that this? Mm-hmm. And they start to spill in that. We've heard the most amazing stories from our customers about the conversations they've been having with their kids.
And is there a certain age range that's like recommended for this?
Yeah, we really think of the best age group being 5 to 9, sort of, you know, just starting to learn how to read, school age, with that sort of perfect kid being a 7-year-old, where these conversations can be really meaningful, and they can sort of wrap their heads around the concepts.
Yeah, okay. And so then what's next for you? Are you writing any more of these books, or are you...
You know, I've had the best time going out and finding incredible stories. And for us, it's not about finding a person who's published before or has a million Twitter followers. It's about finding these incredible personal stories that are really important to start conversations with kids. And so, you know, we see across the next 2 years 100 books that are all on various empowering, challenging, and important topics. And then we've got a whole series of products that'll be around that that help kids tell their own stories.
Yeah, very cool. And I like the packaging and just like the look of all of it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, very, very hip and like modern. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Cool. Okay, anything else you want to add?
No, that's great.
You can find Jelani's book and all of the A Kid's Book About series on akidsbookabout.com. All right, next up, we spoke with Emma about her book, A Kid's Book About Feminism, and how her store promotes feminism as well.
So I want to first talk about just Wild Fang and your, you know, your business and how you got started. So I know you're originally from Ireland,
yes.
Right?
Yep, I'm Irish.
So what brought you over here? How long have you been in the States?
Well, this is home now. I've been here 12 years.
Okay.
So Portland's been my home for 12 years. I came here with Nike. So I moved here to work for them, and then about 6 years ago, I quit to start my own thing, which is Wild Fang.
Yeah, and what... what inspired you to start Wild Fang? Because it does have a very like specific message, and you guys have a specific audience you're targeting.
Yeah, I think Wild Fang started because I was frustrated by the lack of choice that women had when it came to clothing. It felt like they were being put in a box and told exactly what they could wear, and I didn't understand why they were being restricted from certain items of clothing, right? Like a really great blazer. You know, you find a really great blazer in the men's department, you couldn't find one in the women's department, right? A really great pair of chinos, you find them in the men's department and not in the women's department, right? And that means great details, that means deep pockets, that means buttons that actually work, that means really great lining. Not only do they function, but they're really comfortable, right? So I couldn't find any of that stuff, and I figured there were probably tons of other women that felt the same way. And so that's where it started, and then as we've grown and we've built our tribe, we've kind of you know, we're in a really interesting climate right now, and there's a lot of things going on in the world with women's rights, and we feel like we have a role in that and in a role in trying to empower women and give them support in those issues.
Yeah, okay. And so then you started Wild Fang, and you said you guys really have two different types of women, and but you have men stuff too. I know, or men buy the shirts but you have the boss babe and
we have the boss babe and the tomboy.
Okay,
and we try to cater to both. So some people love to wear menswear inspired clothing as a head to toe look, right? Mm-hmm. So think Katharine Hepburn, think Marlena Dietrich, right? Amelia Earhart, mm-hmm. head to toe in the coveralls. And then some people like to mash their style and clash women's wear and men's wear and create conversation. And those people might wear a really great blazer, but pair it with a skirt. Right? Mm-hmm. You will not find a skirt at Wild Fang. Mm-hmm. But they match that within their own style and make it their own. And, you know, we love that too.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. And then how did this idea for you to write this book come about?
Well, I've known Jelani for several years, and I really admire him. He's done such a great job with his other companies. And when he came to me and said, hey, I want you to write a kid's book about feminism, for me, it resonated because feminism is a weird topic that people have crazy ideas about. You know, whether you're kids or whether you're adults, there are misconceptions that feminists, men can't be feminists, which is wrong. Mm-hmm. That feminists hate men or don't like men somehow, which is also wrong. And so the idea of a kid's book to reset some of those conversations really early seems mm-hmm. super cool, you know? And to teach kids, both boys and girls, about gender equality and their role within it, you know? And I think so many of those conversations start really young, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, if you go to the toy department, you know, pink toys are girls and blue toys are boys, yeah. And the girls, you know, have a baking oven and the boys have a truck, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think the idea of pulling apart some of those gender stereotypes really young and teaching kids about gender equality. And, you know, in my book, I talk about the fact that the youngest person ever to win a Nobel Prize was a woman, mm-hmm. right? There are women who lead Fortune 500 companies, like Pepsi. There are women who win World Cups, like Megan Rapinoe. So, yeah, just the idea that you can go on to do whatever you want, whether you're a boy or a girl.
Yeah, yeah, and it really is as simple as that, is like just kind of stating what a feminist is. And have you been around when girls have read the book, when they had younger girls read it?
Yeah, I've actually been around when boys have read the book, which is super fun.
Yeah.
Because they... you know, I told you earlier, actually about 1 in 4 of our Wild Feminist shirts is bought by a man, and mm-hmm. we're really proud of that, because we're inviting them into the conversation. There are many, many rooms in the world that I will not get into that a man will, for mm-hmm. example, a locker room. And those are really important places for people to show up around feminism and show up around gender equality. And so I've read it with 2 little boys. And they loved it because they didn't understand the word, they didn't understand what it meant, and they did think it was only girls that could be that. So that was really fun to watch them kind of go, oh, I understand what the word means, and I understand I'm allowed to be it.
Yeah. Well, why is it that you think that the word feminist has gotten kind of a bad rap? Because I feel like, you know, I'll say I'm a feminist, and my mom will be like, well, you know, like, I think they're, maybe generationally people don't get it.
Yeah, I think generational is a big part of it.
Yeah.
I think we're living in a different time right now. We're living in a time when there is a lot more at stake than has ever been. Mm-hmm. And instead of going forward, some days it feels like we're going backwards. Mm-hmm. And so I think feminism has a newfound mission right now. And I think the conversation around gender is super interesting, and the fluidity of gender. Mm-hmm. I think that's another reason you're seeing the word kind of mold and evolve.
Yeah, okay. And so trying to make sure that the next generations, I guess, get it right. This book is just one step and, you know, one thing in that.
What I love about these books is it makes hard conversations less scary.
Yeah.
You know? And so the last thing, you know, when we built Wild Fang, the last thing we ever wanted to do was scare anybody or make anybody feel excluded. Actually, quite the opposite. Mm-hmm. We created it to be a really inclusive place that you could walk in and feel at home no matter who you were. Mm-hmm. And the book kind of does the same thing. It takes this topic that you're kind of like, I don't know if I can have that conversation. Mm-hmm. And it makes it really inclusive and easy to have.
Yeah. And any other books that you're going to be writing for the series, or?
I think I'm done at this point, but we'll see. You never say never in my world.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like he has a lot of them planned. So.
Yeah, he does. We've been having some really fun conversations about other authors that I think would be great. So stay tuned. I think there's a couple of really exciting people.
Other topics, yeah. And as far as Wild Fang, anything next for you guys? I know you have several locations now in Portland, and it sounds like you kind of, after the last election, really got a lot of business. So
yeah, the last election was an important moment for our brand when we really decided to, you know, focus more on giving back and activism, to be honest. Mm-hmm. We're really proud of our product. We've kind of reinvented our product in the last year. So if people haven't tried it in the last year, you should probably come back. We've really upgraded the quality of what we're doing. Building those little tribes in New York and LA is super important right now. So those stores are going well, and excited to see what happens in 2021.
Yeah. 2020. And on that note, you are going to have these books in the stores as well? The whole book series, or just the...
We're just going to have the book about feminism.
So
we start selling that next week.
Awesome. Okay. Anything else you want to add?
No. It's nice to have you guys in.
And you can find Emma's book not only on the A Kids Book About website, but also in her Wild Fang stores, including the Portland location downtown where we did those interviews. That's this week's Writer's Block. I will be back the week after next to talk to the author of 100 Things to Do in Bend Before You Die.
The Queen 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.